Okay, the boys side. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalit. And we're continuing the Gishmak Sugya that we started off yesterday. And that is that Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, there's a pasuk Lois is goided. And from there we learn Loisasu Agudois Agudois. We don't want Klal Yisrael to be in two camps, that one camp does one thing and one camp does the other thing, because it looks like there's Chas Hashem two separate Sifrei Torah. After all, there's only one Torah from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So the first kashya they asked was Legabi Megillah, that we go and lay the Megillah in some places on the 14th, and in Shushan and Yerushalayim, and the Kerachim Kofes Chaim on the 15th, and so on and so forth. And then we got to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah learned back yesterday that there's a machloket between Beisham and Beisil, Legabi the din of Tzoreis. Back in the Mishnah Daf Beis, we took it for granted that everybody holds that just like one cannot be Miyabim and Erva, there is no din to be Miyabim the Tzora either. And not only that there is no din, Chas v'Shalom, a person is Miyabim this Tzora, he is Pegeya be Erva herself. She herself has the din of a Chiyuv Karis. The Tzora of an Erva has the din just like an Erva Chiyuv Karis. Yet, Beis Shammai said in our Mishnah, no. One should go and allow the erva to be nisyabim. And in fact, he had a pasuk where the pasuk says, "Loisia eishes amesa chutz lizar." Don't allow the isha chitzoina. The isha chitzoina being the tzara. Don't allow her to go and marry izar. Go yivam yavi alel. There's a mitzvah of yibum. So in fact, as if for a major machloikis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, as we had in our Mishnah. That being the case, ask the Gemara in the very final line of Yud Gimel Amid Beis, since we have a concern about Loisasu Agudois Agudois, Frey Gemara of HaBeis Shammai Matirin HaTzoris La'achin UBeis Hillel Oisrim. The Beis Shammai allow a Tzora to go and marry a brother. That's an Isser Kares according to us Beis Hillel. And in fact, the children of such a union, Chas V'Shalom Amam Zerim. Or Beisil Osir, Beisil said, no, that's Osir. So isn't that a situation of two camps, of two Agudois, two Torahs? What's going on? Everything more atop of the Amun Misavris, Osir Beishamai Kedivrayim. You think Beishamai actually implemented their Psak Halacha, Halacha Lemaisa? No, Layosir Beishamai Kedivrayim. Although Beishamai held Min HaTorah that the din is like they said. However, ultimately they deferred to Beis Hillel, and therefore they agreed with Beis Hillel. Yeah, you're right, Beis Hillel. Even though they, in their hearts, felt that the real pshat, the real halacha, should be otherwise, but they deferred, and therefore there was only one machna, only one Torah. For Rabbi Yochanan Omar, no, osu v'osu, that in fact Beis Shammai did implement the halacha the way they felt, not like Beis Hillel. And in fact, the Gemara says this is not only machlokes between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, but in fact, in one earlier dor, ubeplukta the Rav Shmuel, the Rav Omer, maybe I should say Rav Omar, lo yasu, or Beis Shammai, lo yasu Beis Shammai kidivreim, uShmuel Omer asu vaasu. Oh, so the same machlokes that we just said now, that the Gemara said that, I don't know if the Gemara said it's a machlokes, the Gemara said misav asu Beis Shammai kidivreim, lo yasu. And then Rabbi Yochanan also, so it doesn't mention who the first man the Yomar is, but regardless, Lamaisa we have a machloikis not only between perhaps Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, we have the same machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, that Rav said Liyasu, Beis Shammai said, I'm sorry, Rav said Liyasu, and Shmuel said, Asu.
Rish Lakish was about looked earlier, so it's very likely since he was.
It is, but his name is not mentioned here on the bottom.
Okay.
And the Gemara itself says, Misavris, Asu, Beis Shammai, Devrayim, Liyasu. Who is that Misavris? It wouldn't be Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish presumably would be the one that's asking, Iva Beis Shammai, Beis Every the Gemara, Loyasu. So Bisham, it doesn't say that Rish Lakish answered his own question. So who is it? It's an anonymous responder. Regardless, the point is we have Machloikis also Loyasu, and that's already an earlier Machloik between Rav and Shmuel, that Rav said Loyasu and Shmuel said Asu.
Why do you say earlier? Aren't Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish, and Rav and Shmuel?
I knew as soon as I was going to say that word, you're going to jump. Rav was the first of the Amiron period, because he's considered to be a Tana. B'diavad, Shmuel is all considered to be a Pshtikla. But the Gemara never talks about Rabbi Yochanan being Tanahu Upalik. Why? Because he was, it may not have been a full generation later.
Okay,
so it was
okay,
2 years later, half a year later.
I'm sorry, he was born a week later. I was wondering if you had anything stronger.
I have nothing stronger than that.
I just want to revise my understanding.
You're doing beautifully. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So you have Machloek is here between Rav and Shmuel. And subsequently, Rabbi Yochanan and the other gentleman, the other Amora, argued about the same matter. And this is going to now, Mirat Hashem, going to occupy us for the rest of today's blot, because both in the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis, we're going to go back and forth. Yes, Asu, Loy Asu. Yes, Asu, Loy Asu. Asu means that the Shammai implemented the halacha the way they felt, or no, although they felt X, but they were willing to defer to Beis Hillel to say Y. Don't worry about it. Amos, when is this machlokes pertinent? When did this take place? Now we're trying to look at a historical timeline. Amos, Elaim Akoin Baskot, it did this take place before the Baskot, Maitam Deman the Amar, Loyos. The Alachar Baskot, Maitam Deman the Amar, Osu. What Baskot are we referring to? So Rashi told us back in Erevin, we learned, Tap Rashi, Yotze Baskot, the Amra Halachik Beisil. There was a machlokes between Beisham and Beisil. How do we Paskin? Ultimately, a Baskot came down from Shemayim and said, we Paskin like Beis Hillel. That being the case, and that's, of course, 99% of the time, you always Paskin like Beis Hillel. Occasionally, we Paskin like Beis Shammai. I'm sorry if it's not 99%, it's only 98%, 97%. You get the idea. Most of the time, we Paskin like Beis Hillel. I didn't actually count up whether it's 97 times out of 100. Whatever. Anyway, getting back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says now, is it before the Baskol or after the Baskol? If it's before the Baskol, what would be the svara of the Mandiyamar Loyasu? If there's no decision yet, then presumably Beis Shammai should have continued and said, Dalacha is the way we feel it is. Because after all, they felt that that's Dalacha. Elamai, it's Liachar Baskol. So what's Pshat the Mandiyamar that says, also Kidivrayim, that they continued persisting in their Halacha? The Baskol said, we Paskin like Beis Hill, and not like Beis Shammai. Says Yomari, Iboy Yisei Mekoyim Basko, Iboy Yisei Melachar Basko. It could be either way. Iboy Yisei Mekoyim Basko, Kigoyim, Ukigoyim, to Beis Hillel Ruba. It's before the Basko. In terms of the number of Talmid Chachom at that time that followed Beis Shammai or followed Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel was the Roiv. That being the case, the reason why they did not implement the halacha the way they felt is why didn't Beis Shammai stick to their guns? Because Beis Hillel is Roiv, and therefore Roiv and Miot, you go after Roiv, and therefore they followed Beis Hillel even prior to the Baskel. Uman the Amr also, no, they implemented the halacha the way they felt. When do you go and follow the Roiv? When they happen to be on the same level of scholarship of Talmid Chacham. Beis Shammai were considered to be those with sharper and deeper analysis, and therefore, because of their great intelligence and their great wisdom, the svara would have been to go and follow Beis Shammai, even though Beis Hillel is right. And so, therefore, according to this Man Yomar, the Osu that Beis Shammai continued to say the halacha the way they felt. You know why? The reason is because even though Beis Hillel was right, but they were mechad ditrei.
I heard Rav Shmuel mentioned some years ago.
Yes, please.
He was roiv in sharpness, mechad ditrei, eches and kamas. He'll maybe be larger in kamas, but in eches.
Very good. Beautiful. So Mendy is explaining that this dispute between roiv and the mechad ditrei is a question of kamas and eches. That according to Beis Hillel, he had the Kamus and Beis Shammai had the Eichus, and therefore that's why the Beis Shammai people were also Kidivreim, according to this Man Yama.
Translate those terms as
Kamus and Eichus. Nandi, would you like to translate those terms? Kamus means quantity, Eichus means quality. So you have now. I never heard those words. What do they mean?
Quantity
and quality.
Quality.
Jeez, it's the same thing. Can you imagine? Very similar. Okay, the word kamas comes from the word kama. Kama means how many. So that's the quantity. And the eichus means eich. How? With what kalim? How did you learn this? So the eichus means the quality.
So bottom line, are we saying that Beis Shammai are smarter than base fillah?
The Gemara is saying that they were sharper. Not that they were smarter, sharper. In their learning, they went into it perhaps with even deeper analysis than the Beis Shammai, than the Beis Hillel people. Beis Hillel learned it kishmak, but Beis Shammai went yet another degree in terms of their analytical skills. The Ibo Yisayim, another pshat, the Acher Paschal. It's really talking about after the Paschal already came down from Shemayim that we Paschal like Beis Hillel. Man the Yomel Loyos, according to Man the Yomel that says that we do not, that they, Beis Shammai, did not implement the halacha in accordance with their view. To an Acher Paschal, the Paschal, the Rish Baruch Hu said, we Paschal Beis Hillel, they deferred. Man the Yomel also, that Rabbi Yeshua, they followed the view of Rabbi Yeshua. The Omer Ein Mashkichim Bibasko. Now, Gemara doesn't tell us when Rabbi Yeshua said that or what the connection was, but that's the famous case that Barry is going to remember and remind us of.
Tanur of Achnoi.
The Tanur of Achnoi. What was the Tanur of Achnoi? That was talking about a dispute between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim about whether or not if you have a tanur. Tanur is a furnace oven, which is made out of different pieces, like Lego pieces. If one of those pieces becomes tamei, does the whole thing become tamei? Is it considered to be one entity or multiple entities? Anyway, it was a very, very hot machlokes, which the Gemara brings Masechtas Bava Metzia, and Reb Lezer wanted to go and prove that he was right against the Chachamim, and he said that the Amas Hamayim Yechiach, the direction of the Amas Hamayim, if it goes north or west or south, that should go and show that I'm right. The Kaisan Bissamedish Yechiach, and then ultimately Rabbi Yeshua, and then afterwards he said that a Baskel should come down from Shemayim and say whether I'm right or they are right. David, kindly put yourself on mute. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. But the Rabbi Lezer said that Reb Lezer said that a Basko should be Mechiah, who's right and who's wrong. A Basko came down from Shemayim and said, Reb Lezer's right and the Chacham are wrong. And then Reb Yeshua said, Ein Mashkichen the Basko. Because Torah lav b'Shemayim. The Torah was given by Kodesh Baruch Hu down for this world for us to decide and not to be decided upstairs in Shemayim. So if down below the Chachamim are the Roiv and they feel the Halacha is X, Reb Lezer can be as smart as he is, nevertheless, we follow the Chacham and not follow Reb Lezer. So, Ein Mashgichem Abasko. Is it Lechoyra? It's a bissel shver. Because, in fact, back in the Gemara Masechus Bava Metzia, we see that they followed Reb Yeshua, and after that, they put Reb Lezer in Chayrim, because Reb Lezer continued with his view that he is right.
He stuck to his guns,
and after that they called him Reb Lezer Shamutihi, and there are two pshatim of Shamuti, whether he was from the Talmidei Beis Shammai or because he was Bishamta, he was put in Chayrim because of his very strong response to the Chacham. So we see that in that Gemara Rabbi Yeshua is right, Ein Mashkichem Baskol, because even though Baskol said we Baskol like Reb Lezer, we didn't follow that, and Reb Lezer was put Bishamta. Yet, in our case, Bisham Beis Hillel, we do follow like Beis Hillel, because of that Basko. So make up your mind, do you follow a Basko, or don't you follow a Basko? So that's not my kasha, that's already the third choice is from the top. Reb Yeshua Hudi Omer, Ein Machichem Baskol, V'im Toimer U'mayshno, Tolei Kaimelon Ki Baskol, De Reb Lezer. By Reb Lezer's Basko, Ein Machichem Baskol. But here, Elamrin Mechol Duchti De Shemutihu. He's a Shemuti. Vein loch kamoise. Uki basko the Beis Hillel kaimel and the loch ke Beis Hillel. Here the basko is accepted and there the basko is not accepted. So man ishtan the one basko from the other. V'yesh lema. Shem the basko the Reb Lezer lo yotze el lech voidai. Shom min ha-shamayim yechichu ki da-omra hasam. It wasn't a real basko in the sense that in Shemayim they agreed with Reb Lezer. They only did it for his kavod. Nebuchadnezzar, he was isolated among all the Chachmi Yisrael. All 100 or 200 were, in a sense, beating up on him. And therefore, in the Shemayim, they wanted to go and send them defense. David, please, if you'd be so kind, on mute. Yes.
Does the Baskel mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking?
It's a form of Nevuah that, I don't know if it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly or through Malachim. These are things which are fairly esoteric. And Ein Lanu Esik Ben Astaris. But if anybody has any other learnings or any other teachings on that, I'm happy to learn. but normally it's a heavenly voice similar to a nevuah that comes down from Shemayim, whether it emanates directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu's mouth or from his Chayas HaKodesh or from his secretary up above, I don't know.
Isn't it a little disrespectful then to say Ein Mashgichim Bebaskal? Because if it's coming from Shemayim, whether it's come from angels, come from Kadosh Baruch Hu, or
we have a rule.
Oh, Shemayim, yeah.
What's it done? We pass the Shailas, not Shemayim.
Right.
Yes, at the Levaya, Rabbi Zilberstein spoke. They say his brother-in-law had Ruach HaKodesh, Chaim. Doesn't mean that he passed him from Shemayim. Hashem gave his head to the Shemaya. When he passed in this world, he passed him according to the proper halacha.
Very good.
It's all in this world.
Right. But still, though, if something extraordinary, we're also need having a baskal, which is a...
It's qualitatively different than the quantity of chachamim that we're voting against Rabbi Eliezer.
You're getting into the quantity quality.
Exactly.
Only because you raised the issue that we had to translate it.
But it's interesting because Rabbi Yeshua is the one who fasted and his teeth turned black because he insulted Beis Shammai. So on one level he's rejecting him.
Because he insulted Beis Shammai, Rabbi Yeshua.
Rabbi Shammai, but it's in Gemara Chagiga.
No, 100%.
He said Rabbi Yeshua said I fasted for many days and his teeth turned black because he was. The way he dismissed the opinion of Beis Shammai.
Correct. That was more over there, 100%. Anyway, but Rabbi Shua over here is not referring... Rabbi Shua is not involved over here. The Madiyama that holds Osu, which we had at the top of the Yama, that was Shmuel that said Osu, he holds like Rabbi Shua that Ein Mashgichim Mebasko. Rabbi Shua himself was not addressing Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Gemara. So, yes... The Rabbi Shua over there, the teeth were blackened because he was critical of the Talmid Beis Shammai, Maskin. But that's not related to us. Anyway, so getting back to your comment.
Came of the Amharics, was that what was, and I'm trying to remember the context.
What was the context over there?
Came of that, why they permitted.
That Beis Shammai said that there's a difference between the kelim themselves and the oichel inside.
Right.
Oichel inside, okay, we said, are tahar.
How can the dough be tahar and the kelim tameh?
Right.
And so he said that because, he said, Shua said, come on, this doesn't make any sense. I don't, you should be boishnei midvareichem. I'm so embarrassed about what you're saying. So Gemara said that Beis Shammai's Talmud ends in him. He said, you don't understand. If you go to the Amoritz and tell him that the food that he has is not sufficiently tahar, he'll say, what are you talking about? My food is Torah, your food is Tameh, and therefore don't tell me any rules. So he's not going to listen to us anything. As far as the Kelim are concerned, since that has a concern vis-a-vis us.
And Shayla.
Because we're going to go and borrow those Kelim. So he said, that's why I have to go and paskin that they are Tameh. So how are we going to borrow the Kelim? We're going to go and table the Kelim before we actually use them. Okay, very good. Thank you for reminding us of that Kishmakasugya. But getting back to our Gemara over here, so... Toisus asked a very simple question. When it comes to Machlech B'Sham B'Sil, we do follow the Basko. When it comes to the Mass of Reb Lezer with Tana Shalach Noi, we don't follow the Basko. Make up your mind. And the Toisus, because here the Basko by B'Sham B'Sil was halachically authoritative, was issued for the purpose of establishing the halacha once and for all. Over there, the other Baskel was came out l'chvoidoy of Reb Lezer, that Reb Lezer shouldn't feel insulted by the fact that so many people disagree. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I stand up for you, Reb Lezer. Inami, another pshat, but he Baskel shohisa keneged rabim, drabon habaruba, devadi in alocha. You're talking about the large contingent of Rabbanan that were arguing with Reb Lezer, so the Baskel cannot be machria against all of that great right. Abu Kabaskal the Basil, Kaimalan, Mishim Tava Basil, Ruba, El the Beishami Mechadi Tve. Here in the case of Basil and Beishamai, Basil had the right. There you had Reb Lezer was the Miut, and the Baskal was supporting the Miut. So therefore Toysa says, so we're not going to follow the Baskal when it's supporting the Miut. But here the Baskal is supporting the right. The only reason why they didn't go Basaroi without the Baskal is because of the Mala that Beishami had Mechadi Tve. Therefore, they became like 50-50. But Lemaise, in quantity, they had the Roiv. Therefore, with the Basco, this supports the Roiv that we should follow the Roiv. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is Uchetzweiter, Mandi Omer, Osu, Karin, and Khan. back after Imashkichim Basko, the Madiyama also, the Madiyama that holds that yes, Beis Shammai kept to their guns and kept on doing in accordance with their halacha. Karina Khan, don't we have a problem? Lois is going to do. Luisas are good eyes, are good eyes. So if we're talking about even post the Baskar, still also Kidivrayim, Nu'oi Bazoi, Toyd is now going to be in two separate camps. You're going to have the Beis Shammai, we're going to say X, Y, and Z. And you're going to have Beis Hillel who says A, B, and C. It's terrible. Agudas are good eyes. This halacha that you're not allowed to have a good is going shtei bote dinam bi'er achas. If you have two separate bote dinam in the same city, and if you go to Bezdin 1, they're going to pask in X, and you're going to go to Bezdin 2, they're going to go and pask in Y. That's a good is. Shtei bote dinam shtei ayores in two separate locations, less than one. That's not a problem. That means every mokum does their own minigam mokum. They do in one city to follow Beis Shammai, the other city to follow Beis Hillel. That's not a concern. After Beis Shammai Beis Hillel lived in the same towns and the same cities, they had presumably bottom midrashim that were close to another, so therefore they were in the same town, and you're telling me that shtei batei dinim bir achas is a problem. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were shtei batei dinim bir achas. And if according to Mandi Yomar, that even after the Baskol Beis Shammai also Kidivrayim, so now you have a good eyes in the same city. Isn't that a problem? El Omer Rava, so therefore Rava changed his terminology a little bit, and he said, Ki Amrino, he says, Koidu Ki Koin Bezdin Bi Ir Achas, Plag Moirin Kidivri Beis Shammai, U Plag Moirin Kidivri Beis Hill. You have one Bezdin in the city, and then depending on which rabbi of the Bezdin you ask, or which day of the week you ask, you'll either get on one day a Heter and the other day an Isser, and therefore everybody will go to Rabbi Smith instead of Rabbi Jones, or everybody's going to go to Rabbi Smith on Monday because they know that on Monday Rabbi Smith is in charge and he's going to pass him X, and if I want a Chumrah, then I'm going to go on Thursday because then the Rabbi Jones will be in charge and he's going to pass him Y. That's Agudas Agudas. If you have two separate Batidinim in the same city, that's okay, that's not Agudas Agudas. Agudas Agudas means in the same camp itself you have a dispute as to Allah. But in two separate camps, okay, they have the Masayra X and they have the Masayra Y. That's not an inyan, not a problem of Agudas Agudas. Toshima. Yes, sir.
Didn't we learn that in the good old days they wouldn't even intermarry between the yeshivas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel?
To the contrary. Back, if you go to the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, in other words, yesterday's Gemara, go to the third line of the Mishnah, and from the top of the Amud, or on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, third line, Afopisha Elu Oisin, the Elu Matirin, Elu Poisin, the Elu Machshirin, even though there were vehement disagreements, they were at loggerheads between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel as to the halacha. Loi nimnu Beis Shammai melisa noshim Beis Hillel. Loi Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. They would intermarry and celebrate chasanis together and simchas together. There was no concern. But the problem is, according to those that hold the Beis Shammai implemented the halacha the way they felt, we have potential issues of mamzeris. How were they allowed to do that? So the Gemara in the Amud Beis is going to address that. Rashi already in the Mishnah told us that they were moedim lehem. They would tell them. In other words, when they would send out by internet, by the emails, they would send out a resume, the Beis Shammai people would write footnote on the bottom, you should know that this family is a family that was born to a tzara that married the Yavam, and that therefore, according to us, it's perfect, and we have no problems whatsoever. Beis Hillel, you should go and do further investigation if you have concerns. Okay, so they were Mediyavim. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara, we're now four lines before the Y. Lines, Toshima, Bim Koimishur Belezel Hoyu, Korsim Eitzim Lasis Pachomim Bishabis Lasois Barzo. This is a famous Gemara that we learned back in Masechta Shabbos. That's the famous Perek Reb Lezer de Mila, where Reb Lezer holds a Machshirei Mitzvah are Doichen Es HaShabbos. Meaning, not only the Mitzvah of Mila itself. As we know, a Bris Mila is halachically controversial in a sense. That what? How can you go and spill dam on Shabbos if somebody wanted to go and shecht a carbon Carbon is okay if it's one of the carbon tamid, shoshacha, tamid shel ben aboyim, the carbon musaf, but you're not going to go in stam shecht, even a regular carbon. If I want to bring a carbon chatas, I can't bring it on Shabbos, I got to wait until Sunday. If I want to bring a carbon, a private carbon, oila, private carbon shlom, you can't do that. Shabbos, you're not a shecht, and therefore, how are you allowed to go and do a bris milah on Shabbos? But the Torah says, beferish, you're allowed to do it. But you're in mashmina, yimel psara law, sorry. If day 8 comes out on Shabbos, you're allowed to. Says Rabbi Lezer, not only allowed to go and do the bris milah itself, you're allowed to go and prepare the knife that is used for the bris milah. What happens if the moyel comes to shul and he says, I thought you had a knife here? No, we don't have a knife. So what are we going to do? We have to do a bris. No problem. Let's go and cut down a few branches from the tree. Let's go and make a fire. We're going to, with that fire, have a very hot fire. We'll be able to go and take some metal, put the metal in the fire, mold it and form it into a knife. We'll be able to use that knife on Shabbos. Really allowed to do that? Reb Lezer held, you are allowed to do it. Not only that, Rashi says it wasn't only a b'dievet situation. Reb Lezer and the people in his mokim wanted to show that that is halacha lemaisa emes lamita shel Torah, and therefore, says a small toises towards the bottom, the mekoymish Reb Lezer's toises, the miskaven hoyumeviim atzmam sheyutzrichen lekach mishum chivav mitzvah. They would often intentionally not bring along the messer, the knife used for the bris, so that they should have to undertake these major efforts on Shabbos itself, so that there should be a piercing and say, Rabbi Yisai, you see the great mitzvah of bris milah, it's so great, we're even allowed to go and cut down the branches, make the fire, prepare and mold a beautiful knife, and use that for the bris. Of course, this was a das yachid. In other mekoymes, they didn't do that. As we'll see in a moment, in Rabbi Kiva's town, this would be prohibited. The Braisa continues on, in the Mokam Rabbi Yosef Glili, they would go and eat chicken with milk. How could you do that? Because Rabbi Yosef Glili darsh in the Pasuk, how do we know there's an Isser of basar b'chalav? Le'savashel gedi b'chalev imay. A gedi b'chalev imay, that's only if the mami has chalav. When it comes to chickens and hens, etc., they don't have milk. You never see a hen going and nursing its babies because they don't have milk. Ah, so maybe the whole halacha of gedi b'chalev imay only applies to animals. It doesn't apply to fowl. That's what Rabbi Yosef Glili felt, and that's his psak halacha. Of course, we do not follow that halacha. We don't follow Rabbi Lezer halacha, but this is what they did in those mekoymes before the Rambam was published, before the Shulchan Aruch was published. At that time, things that they had not been koveya in the halacha, and therefore each mokoym had their particular minhagim. And in fact, the Gemara at, yes, somebody has a question?
To that we cry foul.
Yes, we cried foul. Yes, that was a beautiful comment. Thank you. So the Gemara says about the Mekoymish Reb Lezer in the Mekoymish Reb Akiva, loy, only by Reb Lezer. By Reb Akiva, they would never allow you to do something like that. The sign says in the Braisa, klal of Reb Akiva. Kol melacha she'ef shel asoyis me'erev Shabbos, ein doiches ha'Shabbos. If you want to go and bring along for the bris a knife, bring it before Shabbos. Don't be over on any malacha that you are able to do from Erev Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos, you can go and manufacture, you can buy, you can make a knife. No problem. Do it Erev Shabbos. You have to bring it to the shul, bring it from Erev Shabbos. Don't do it on Shabbos. Anything you can do on Erev Shabbos, don't do it on Shabbos. Obviously that disagrees with Rabbi Lezer. Don't we have a problem about gudais? Gudais, says Yimara. By my tilfta, I don't understand what your question is. We just finished saying that mekoyma is mekoyma shani, that in two different places there's no problem. You have two bate dinam in two separate places. According to the end of Rava, even two bate dinam in the same place, as long as they are separate bate dinam. So, you have the mokum of Reb Lezer and you have the mokum of Reb Akiva. What's the shaila? Says the Gemara, so this is a parsha of Teretz. My tiyuf, the mekoyma is mekoyma shani. Fetimar karila, my karila. What was even the havamina? We just got finished saying, In one breath ago, that there's a difference between two mekoymos rather than two in the same market. Since chas shalom being mechal the Shabbos is so chomer that If a person did it b'mezid with hasroa, with edim, chas v'shalom, a person gets skila. I would say, even though these are two separate mekoymes, but we should give it the severity in the halach as if it's in one mekoym, and don't allow people like in the mekoym of Reb Lezer to be mekel, because then people chas v'shalom are going to be mekel in other places. Therefore, Kamash Malan comes to tell you, no, that the halach is, if it's two separate mekoymes, each mekoym is entitled to have their own separate halachas and menhagim. Toshima, Dribavoki Iklali Asi Dribashum and Levi. When Ribavo would come to the town of Shub and Levi, have a metaltal shrag. He would go and carry a candlestick on Shabbos. Rashi says we're talking about a candlestick which was lit Lakovit Shabbos, like all of us in Klal Yisrael, we light candles on Erev Shabbos. And then eventually the fire goes out. At this point, are you allowed to move the candlestick from place to place? Is a machloikis whether there's a din of muktzah or not? So Rashi says, Rabbi Yeshua holds like Rabbi Shimon, the Leslay muktzah. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Islay muktzah. Which muktzah are we talking about? Rashi says, Afilo Shuloi Machmas Isur. That gets into the question whether these were candlesticks made out of metal or they were made out of klicheres, because it's klicheres, will be a problem of muktzah machmas liyas. If they're metal, it's a problem of muktzah machmas isur. The bottom toises talks about this as well. They have metalmish and kawaita shom yerichanan, whether we're talking about muktzah machmas liyas or muktzah machmas isur. But anyway, but it's a machloikis. So Reb Avo apparently was holding the wick of the candle from both sides. What do I mean? Because when he went to the place of Reb Shimon Levi and Metal Toshraga, then when the lights went out, he would move the candlestick from one place to the other. However, he ikla l'asir Reb Yochanan le'am Metal Toshraga, and then chulila, he wouldn't even touch the candle. He wouldn't get within dalet amos of the candlestick because it's mukta. So, Reb Avo, what's going on over here? I don't understand what the kash is. It's very simple. When Reb Avo was in the Asrei, in the Mok of Reb Shimon and Levi, he did like Reb Shimon and Levi. When he was in the Asrei of Reb Yochanan, the Mok of Reb Yochanan, he did like Reb Yochanan. We already said that there's no problem of agudois, if there are multiple mekoymois. So tomorrow, that's not an issue. And now in Hochi Kamrin, the problem that we had is with Reb Avo himself, his own personal conduct. Heichi Ovid Hocha Hochi, the Heichi Ovid Hocha Hochi. Is Reb Avo, is he have an alter ego? I mean, you have to understand. Does he paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? Then it's Aser. Does he paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? It's Mutter. What's going on? And for the Gemara, Reb Avo, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Svirale. Rabbi Shimon Levi, as you recall, have a metal to shrak. He held me Ikra Hadin that you're allowed to, and there is no mukza involved. For he miklas, Rabbi Yochanan le have metal to. Mishim kvoided Rabbi Yochanan. He didn't want anybody to think that he is chas v'shalom going against the Sar HaToyra, Rabbi Yochanan, in his mokoyim. And so therefore, out of respect, to show reverence and respect to Rabbi Yochanan, he refrained from being metaltal. But he held that Rabbi Shimon Levi is right. You are allowed to be metaltal. We got a problem with the shamus of Reb Avo. The shamus of Reb Avo sees that Reb Avo went and he was metaltal in the place of Rabbi Yochanan. I'm sorry. He was sure that he's metaltal in accordance with Rabbi Shimon Levi. So maybe the shamus himself, when he's going to come to the Makom Rabbi Yochanan, he's going to be metaltal, just like he saw that his Revi was metaltal, where? In the place of Rabbi Shimon Levi. If he doesn't know about the fact that Reb Avo really holds a Rabbi Shimon Levi, but he's machmir in the town of Rabbi Yochanan, out kvoided Rabbi Yochanan, if the Shabbos doesn't know, then even when he comes to the place of Rabbi Yochanan, he might be mekel and do like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Everything the model of the Shabbos, Rabbi Avo told the Shabbos in advance, I want you to know I hold like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But when we're in the town of Rabbi Yochanan, we're going to be very careful to go and follow all the dictates of Rabbi Yochanan and Chas V'Shalom, not to go and cause any trouble, and not to Chas V'Shalom be mezalzel in the covet of Rabbi Yochanan. Toshima, Avu Mishaelu, Oysim Eilu Matirin. That's back to our Mishnah that Jeff was referring to earlier, that even though they are Aser and they are Matir, we're talking about the Tzorois, that they still Aser a tzora for Yibam. It's just like the Erva herself is an Issacharis. Ve'ilu Matirin, and they still says no. Fakert, the Yavim should go and be miyabim the tzara. Lo'inivnu beishamim elisa noshim beisil lo'beisil mi beishamai. They went and intermarried as Jeff said before. So if you're going to tell me that Beis Shammai did not do kidivrei, in other words, they did not implement the halacha the way they felt, but they deferred to Beis Hillel, especially after the Baskel, everybody's doing the same thing. That's why they got married together. Eli Amrin, also, if you're going to tell me that Beis Shammai persisted in implementing the halacha the way they felt, so why were they not Meineh? Why didn't they go and put up fences between them? And they should not have allowed for intermarriage between the two caps. Why? Excuse me. I can understand why Beis Shammai would freely marry the the family and the Talmidim and the Mishpachis of Beis Hillel. Why? Let's analyze what's the problem. Lefi Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says that the tzara should go and have yibum or have chalitza, because the tzara fell the yibum, just like any woman that falls the yibum. Either you do yibum or chalitza. Beis Hillel says, no, they don't need yibum chalitza, they're totally potter, like we learned in our Mishnah, a tzara se'erva, poetry tzara se'im, a tzara se'erseim, atzei fo'ilam, madmeya, no din of yibum. Okay, so if we had such a situation, we had the tzara of a bas, or tzara of a chamoise, or tzara of any one of the 15 arroyos, according to Beis Shammai, the yavam should be miyabim. What happens according to Beis Hillel? Chas v'shalom. No, it shouldn't be miyam. So now what happens is, because it's an Eish Yisach, exactly right. It, like an Eish Yisach, Sheyesh Labanim. It has a status like Sheyesh Labanim. It's Issachar's. Okay, so what happens now? What would Beis Hillel do with such a tzara? He would say that tzara should go marry anybody but Shuk. She no longer, there is no Zika, zero Zika, nothing, no Zika, because she was the tzara of an Erev. She should marry anybody. She can marry even a kohen. Says Beis Shammai, Chas v'shalom, there's an iser lav. Lo yisia eishes hameis hachutza. Means hachitzoina l'ish zor. She can't go and marry anybody.
She needs chalitza.
She needs either yibum or chalitza, one of the two. Otherwise, she can't just go marry. And this young lady, according to Beis Hillel, didn't have either yibum or chalitza. And you're allowing her to go marry somebody, then it could be over this love of lisiyashes hameis hachutza. So, Ibazoi, according to Beis Shammai, what's the maximum that can happen? The maximum can happen is the tzora is going to go and marry without the benefit of yibum or chalitza. That's an iser lav. The children that are going to be born are going to be the children of Bnei Chayovei Lavin. But that's not Kores. It might be Ashtikl Begam and Derichus, but it wouldn't be a Mamzer. So I can understand why Beis Shammai would allow for their kids to go and marry to the children of Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, Amai Le'Nimnu, Bnei Chayovei Karisus Mamzerim Ninu. If you're going to allow, like Beis Shammai allows, that one of the tzorais of an erva goes and marries a yavam, that's totally prohibited. That's an iser eishesach, ki eishesach sheyesh lo banim, which is an iser of kares. Any person who engages in a marriage of kares, then the children are mamzerim. So why loy nimnu? So the choyd is arai that loy also kidivreim, and that they follow Beis Hillel. Maybe you're going to tell me Beis Hillel holds you only have mamzeirim, for instance, if there is a chi of misas bezdin, but not if it's a chi of karis. No. If it's an iser erva and there's an oynish of karis, it doesn't have to be an oynish of skilu or sreifa herig uchani. As long as there's an iser and there's an oynish karis, it's also a mamzer. So why loy nimnu? Alav shmamina loy osu. The chayyim have now a conclusive right from our mishnah loy osu kidivrayim. But in fact, Beis Shammai deferred to Beis Hillel, and there were not two machnois, two piskei halacha. Everybody agreed like Beis Hillel.
It was just an academic argument the whole time.
But not just academic because of intellectual pursuits.
No, I'm saying, but it was just in the Beis Medrash. It wasn't put in practice. It
was not put in practice like any machloikas so we have in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel and Abai and Rav and Rav Lezer and Rav Yeshua throughout Chas. It's mole with machlekes in, and ultimately they paskin one way or the other, and the oilam had to follow the psak, even if you weren't happy about it, but the psak is a psak. is v'choy avarayish ma'amin olay asu. It could be that also, just like Shmuel said at the top of the Amid, the moidelu barshi, like we said before, that they would always put on the bottom of the resume a footnote, and they would go and tell what the circumstances were that these children were the children that were born to a tsoras ho'erva, who was nesiabim through the Yavam, who according to Basil, this is horrifying, you're not allowed to do that, this is an Issacharis. Beishami held that it was not only permissible, that's what you're supposed to do. So Beishami made sure to write that on the bottom of the resume, that the Basil, if they are concerned, they shouldn't get close. Of course, they didn't have to write that in every resume, only in those resumes where the children were a mishpacha that were descended from a tzoras hu'erva that was nesiabim. So to Mohanam Mistaver, and it's Mistaver that that's the case. In other words, this is not just a nice idea, yeah, they told them. No, this must be the case. Tani Sefer, right after that we had in the Sefer of yesterday's Mishnah, Kola Taharis, V'chola Tameish, Shehoyu Eilu Mitarim Ve'Eilu Mitamim, Le'nimnu Oysim Taharis Eilu Al Gabi Eilu. So the bottom Rashi tells us that Beisil, when it comes to Hilchais Tumah V'Tahara, typically was more Machmir than the Beis Shammai people. Now, Beis Shammai people and Beis Hillel people lived in the same neighborhoods, in the same buildings. They were next door neighbors, and every once in a while, Sprinza from the Beis Shammai would borrow from Gnendel of the Beis Hillel, or Gnendel of the Beis Hillel would borrow from the Beis Shammai. They would go and borrow Kalim if they were having extra guests. They needed more pots, more pans, more plates, whatever it was. And the problem is, how can they? If according to Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai holds in certain halachas that it's tar, and Beis Hillel holds that it's tamei, the Beis Hillel should say, I'm sorry, Gnendel never borrow anything from Sprinza, you never know, the kelim could be tmeim. Elamai, why did it say like the moidelahu? If you're going to go and tell them that each time, when the Beis Shammai Sprinzes would go and lend to the Beis Hillel Gnendels, would go and lend kelim, they were going to tell them, I want you to know, on this halacha, it was a situation where it was a suffik nevela in Rishus Harabim, and therefore it could have been maybe did touch, maybe didn't touch, and we paskin lehakel, and you might be. Can you tell me a halacha where Beis Shammai holds lehakel and Beis Hillel says lahachmir?
In the case of Rabbi Yeshua, with the case of the kelim, and Rabbi Yeshua was outraged. How can you say that
which kelim are you referring to?
The kelim where the dough is tamei and the kelim is
those kelim.
Right.
In the Aruba, they had that. They put the dough.
Anyway, Rabbi Sai, think of any possible speculative hypothetical case that you can think of where the Beis Shammai would be Mekel and Beis Hillel would be Machmir. Mechem, when we all learn together to say the Taharis, I'm sure we'll come up with a couple of examples. But the point is, in those examples where Beis Shammai felt, I know that we relied on this particular heter because this is the Shitas Beis Shammai against the Shitas Beis Hillel, that they told them, I want you to know that according to you guys, you might feel that it is Tamei. Then I can understand why that they did not refrain from borrowing Kalim one from the other because they'd always tell him. But if you're telling me that they were not my dear, then they didn't tell him. The Beis Shammai never had a problem of borrowing from Beis Hillel because Beis Hillel were always more machmir than the Beis Shammai. So therefore, even certain times when Beis Shammai felt that it was tar, Beis Hillel would hold that it would be tamei. So Beis Shammai did not have to hold back or refrain from borrowing kelim from Beis Hillel. El Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai lovingly nimnu, taras Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel tumeis nino. There were a number of incidents or cases where the taras and Beis Shammai, according to Beis Hillel, would be tamei. El la mushm nechzog to moidelahu. Again, please put yourselves on mute. There's some background.
I think that the Indians are listed the kulot.
It's no question about that, but does it go into Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara or in other cases? We have to look up Masechtas Idias what those cases were. That wasn't Rabbi Yeshua, that was Rabbi Elazar the Chacham. Rabbi Elazar Shemuti, but we were talking about the Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel.
Okay, but
Anyway, getting back to Rabbi said, we don't need to go and conjure up the cases. The Gemara tells us, bottom line is that Beis Hillel was more machmir, and therefore it was more machmir. Beis Shammai had no compunctions from going and barring from Beis Hillel, but Beis Hillel should have had a problem barring from Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai were more mekel, legabi hilchas tum v'tar. El avdam boide lehu is the chasimim that they were moidir, they told him, shma mina is the charai that they were moidir. We're bringing a raya from one case to the other. Why is this a greater raya than the other case? In other words, in the case of the tzorais, the tzoras ho'erva, we're saying that each time Beis Shammai allowed a tzoras erva to be nisiyabin through a yavam, then the Beis Shammai would tell Beis Hillel, so the Beis Hillel should be careful not to marry into that mishpacha, because unfortunately the children would be mamzerim according to Beis Hillel's view. How do I know that they were Medea then? Oh, I know from the case of Tumah V'Tahar. Certainly they were Medea then, so here they were also Medea. Freitimara, how is that any stronger array than this? Maybe in both cases they were not Medea, and in both cases they were also Kidivraim, or Loy also Kidivraim. In other words, how you bring array from one over the other? L'choyra, I could ask the same kasha by Tumah V'Tahar. How could they go and borrow the Kalim? Why like Nimnu? Oh, I'll tell you why. Because just like they were not, they were Moidea them in the case of the Tzaris, they were Moidea in the case of the Kalim. In other words, why is this a better ride than the other? Everyone, I'll tell you why. The smile the same. I would have thought Tzara Kali Islam. When it comes to Tzaris, you don't need to go and advise the other side and tell them of the potential defects or faults in that Shirach, because everybody knows that this is a Tzara situation. Meaning, how often do you hear about Yibam V'Chalitza, and how often do you hear about the Tzara of an Erva going and being the Siyabim just through the Yavam? It's a very extraordinary situation. So everybody would remember, oh yeah, I remember 25 years ago, I remember we all got together and there was a Chassan and then the Tzara so Erva got married, it was very controversial, blah, blah, blah. So I would think they don't have to be Moidia. Kamash Malon, just like by the Kalim, they were Moidia. They were Moidia also by the Tzoras, and that's why, like Nimnu, they never had to worry about Chas V'Shalom, a problem of Mamzedus, because they always told them in advance, this is the special circumstances.
Beis Shammai kept records, right?
Presumably.
Yeah. I remember it being said that they actually kept records of all these things, so it wasn't just reliant on memory.
It had to be, because we're talking about generations later, not just the first generation. You could have Mamzeirim 3, 4, 5, 10 generations. I thought you were going to go and say that the reason why they kept records is so that we shouldn't have to show them go and wreck marriages based on Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel getting together. You like that one. Good. Yes, Rabbi Shai has a question.
The Madailahu, right? Why do we have to say that term? Just say maybe that each one was mach, they were more prone. In other words, so they took homers. Even though Beis Shammai agreed that the Kalim of Beis Hillel, they were mach, they had a more stringent opinion, but maybe Beis Shammai said, you know what, we're going to use the Hefter of Adas in this case. The Hashkach of the Badats.
And they're going to be Machmer.
We're Machmer. So not that they were Moda and they informed them. But
what you're saying is perfect, perfect. That's really the Gemara's back in the Omer Aleph. More than Omer Aleph said, we have Machoikis with the Osu or Loy Osu. If you hold Loy Osu Kidivrein, the Beis Shammai didn't follow their own psak, right, but they took upon themselves the Chumris of Beis Hillel, then I understand why Loy Nimnu. That's why they married into one another, because even though Beis Shammai felt that a Tzora is allowed to go and marry a Yavam, for the Maisa they never did it. Right. So they don't have a problem. But if you hold Osu Kidivrein, which means Beis Shammai persisted in feeling not only this is the Halacha, but this is the Halacha Le Maisa, and they allowed the Tzoras to go and marry the Yavamim, so how come they didn't know? Then you have a real case of Karis. So that's exactly what you're saying. The same thing applies to the Tumah V'Tahara. If Lo Yosu Kidivrein, but rather they relied on the Bedats of Beis Hillel, and they were always Machmir, so Lo Yosu Kidivrein, they were always Machmir, then that's no problem. But if you hold Osu Kidivrein, and they persist and said, no, this is Allah. So that's it. Had to go and be Moitia. Talking more about the Gufam Rabbi Loza. We're now quoting from the memra that we had back in the Omer Aleph. Omer Blaza, Av Bishenech Lukum Esham Beisel, but Tzorais Moedim Shein Mamze El Mimishi Surai Isra Eva. Even though Va'onish Kars, even though they had a Machlekes Agabi Tzoris, is a Tzora allowed to marry Yavam? Not allowed to marry Yavam. Allowed to marry Lashuk. Not allowed to marry Shuk. However, when it came to the din of Mamzeiris, they both agreed that the ism of Zeris, the status of Zeris, Mishi Suri Serva, for Anishkas. Freytimar man moidim. Who was moided to whom? Moidim means they had a machloikis, and now both of them were able to get together on this issue. So somebody apparently moved position from A to B. Who was the one that was moided? Man moid. Even Beishamay le Beisil. Beishamay agreed to Beisil. Pshita, b'nei chayovi lavin ksherim ninu. I don't understand what the whole issue is. Of course, Beis Shammai would agree to Beis Hillel. What did Beis Hillel do wrong in the eyes of Beis Shammai? What Beis Hillel did wrong was that he allowed the tzara of an erva to go and marry Lashuk, and therefore there would be an Isser Lav, and the children would be Bnei Chayovi Lavin. Bnei Chayovi Lavin are Ksherim Ninu, they're not Mamzerim. So what are you telling me? Even though they had a machloikas, the Gabi Tzorois, but they both agreed that Mamzeiris is only Mimisha Suri Issa Erev of Anishkaris. Everybody knows that the children of Chayov Elavin are Ksherim. I don't need a Moidim that they coalesced and they agreed. As far as Beishami is concerned, there is no concern L'halacha if Beis Hillel followed their Shita and not the Shita's Beishami. Elamai must be Beis Hillel L'Beishami. That what Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai is allowing for a tzara, tzara's erva to go and be nesiyav. That's a case of like an eishes ach sheish laban, and therefore it's an isekareis. So ibazoi, it's not a question of moidim. He gufa chayov ekrisisi. It's really not that they're getting together, and we all agree that isse erva on ishkares produces mamzerim, because after all, Beis Shammai persists in their halacha allowing for the tzaris to go and marry the yavamim, and therefore that is good for the case of chayav krisis. There is no get together and agreement per se. So what is Reb Lozer trying to say by saying, but they both agreed about chayav krisis? So to the Beis Shammai, the Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai were moided to Beis Hillel, that even though Beis Hillel were the we were doing wrongly by allowing for a tzara to get married, tzara's erva, to get married Lashuk without the benefit of chalitza. Nevertheless, v'lafukim et Rabbi Kiva. We know the famous Rabbi Kiva said that chayav elavin produce a mamzer. So if you're going to follow Rabbi Kiva, even Beis Hillel's actions caused mamzeris in the eyes of the Beis Shammai people, because Beis Hillel allowed for a tzoras erva to go and marry Lashuk, and she's being oiven the isra of loisia eishes hameitz achutzel izar. And I would think, good, Rabbi Kiva, are the children mamzerim? Kamashim londei mamzer mechayav elavin, that they both agreed that we do not follow Rabbi Kiva, and there is no din of mamzeris by chayav elavin.
Is the kares on the erva? Could the argument be is the kares on the tzoras erva? The tzoras erva is just like the erva herself.
Tzoras erva has the exact same din as the erva herself. Gabi hilchos krisis.
Thank you.
That what? That this is a woman who is an eishes ach. She does not fall the yibum. In other words, there is no heter of being miyabim her. If there's no heter, then the old iser of eishes ach continues to persist.
And the chayiv krisis.
Okay. And the chayiv kares. No, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Tor shema. Af bishenechlechu b'shem b'sil tzoris ubachoyis b'get yoshin ubesafik eishes ish ummegarish es ishte v'loni ima b'pundak b'kesev b'shal v'kesev b'prutu b'shal v'prusa v'loinim b'sham eliza noshim b'sil v'loinim b'shamai. In other words, what the Brice is doing is expanding on our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only focused on their machloikis by tzoris, but there are many other machloikis in between b'sham and b'sil. Now we don't have to go into all the details of every one of the other machloikis, and in fact Rashi in a couple of cases says just look it up over here and look it up over there. But just to give you an idea, what's the case of the Achoyis? Achoyis is talking about a case that we already referred to a couple of days ago in the Gemara, where there were four brothers and there were two sisters. The two sisters married two of the brothers. The brothers and the sisters were not related. But four brothers, two of the brothers married two sisters. No problem with that. But guess what happened? The two brothers that were married to two sisters, Nebuch, were together in the same airplane. Nebuch, the airplane crashed, Rahman al-Slam, and Nebuch, the two brothers passed away. So now we have the two almanis, and there are two remaining Yevamim. So I would normally think, okay, they're just going eeny, meeny, miny, mo, that Reuven and Shimon Nebuch passed away. Levi and Yehuda, why don't you go and take one, take the other one. What's the problem? Yeah, that's
it. It's one brother with two tzaras.
Well, let's step back. Number one, the din of bayis echem lishnei batim means from the same bayis. So if you have Reuven passing away and leaving three or four women, all almanos and yevamos, then you can only be miyabim one of them. You can't be miyabim two or three of them. Never, both Reuven and Shimon passed away, so lechoyra Levi could go and take both of them, and Yehuda could go and take both of them. Why can he go and take both of them? Well, now we have a problem. He can't take mamish both of them because
they're sisters.
Okay, sister. So I apologize. I withdraw that comment. I'm surprised you didn't really jump.
I gave you a chance. Thank you.
Very kind. Anyway, but had they not been sisters, had been nochriyos, then Levi could have been miyabim both of them, and Yehuda could have been, because they're not two batim from the same bayis, they're two separate batim. Here I'm being miyabim the Ashes Reuven, him being miyabim the Ashes Shimon. But of course, they happen to be sisters, you can't go and take both of them. The question is, can you take one of them? Why not? Levi will go and take Reuven's wife, and Yehuda's going to take Shimon's wife. But there's a halacha of achois zikukasai, which means each one of them is a zika to both Levi and Yehuda, and each one of the women is also the sister of the zika. It's din of achois zikukasai is the rabbanan, and now there's a machlech between Beisham and Beisil, whether this is permissible or not. Oh, so again, I have such shyless machlech Beisham Beisil. It's a machlech, say, mishta later on, Amir Tshem, which we're going to get to on Daf Chavav Amir Aleph. If you want to just take a small, short, little peek, you'll see it's the beginning of a new parak. The parak is appropriately called the parak Arboa Achin. This is Chavav Amir Aleph 26a. Arboa Achin, Shnayim Mehem Nesuim Shtei Achoyis, for two of them were married to two sisters, and Mesa and Nesuim Achoyis, never the two that married the Achoyis passed away. Hari Eilu Choltzois Vileg Mesiyamois, the Imkodmu Vekonsu Yoitziyu, yes, they can marry. No, they cannot, and you even have to go and be moitzi. What is the isser involved? So you look at the first wide line of Rashi down below. So that would be an isser. What happens if, however, Levi and Yehuda didn't learn this Mishnah, and Levi took one and Yehuda took the other, according to Beis Shammai, you can't, no problem, you just keep on living with each other. According to Beis Hillel, no, this marriage is no good. So you see that there's this machloikis, not only by Tzoris and Amishtan, there's a machloikis over there by Achoyis. And there's a case of the Get Yashan. What's the case of the Get Yashan? The case of the Get Yashan is that a person went to the Sofer and had a get written out, and he's holding in his pocket. He has a pocket get ready to give with to his wife. In the meantime, he was misyachid with his wife. We don't know what they did. We just know that they were sequestered. They were biyichud. Therefore, it's possible they came lead debir. Machloik is whether or not after that yichud is over, the next morning, can the husband go and use that to go and be megarish his wife. Again, machloik is beishamay or beisil, what this get has now been voided by the fact that they were miyachud together. And then you have another case of the Suffolk Ashes Ish. What's the Suffolk Ashes Ish? Here Rashi does go into some detail. He in fact has two pshatim. But the Ikkum Pshat, he says, the second pshat is talking about Nebuch, a Shchivmera that's about to pass away. And he's afraid that he's going to pass away at any time. He doesn't want her to have to go and fall liyibam to his brother, because he knows his brother is a scoundrel and is only going to cause trouble. So therefore, he gives her a get and says, Zagitech mehayoyim emesi mechoyli zeh. This get should be chal already from today if I pass away from this terrible disease that I have. And Nebuch, the person was diseased and he was ill for a month, for a year. Says the Gemara, kol oisim hayomim nikris sofik eishes ish. Throughout that period of time, it's a sofik eishes ish, because maybe he will eventually pass away from this chayin, and therefore it will turn out, lemafreya, that they were divorced already 6 months ago, a year ago, whatever. Is a machloikas over there, whether when they should be boiled or should not be boiled, because if they are boiled at any time, so that makes it into a get yoshan, or the next case of the Gemara, a megarish is ishte v'lona imay bepundak. What happens if a husband gives a wife a get? And then they're misyachid after he gave her the get. They both, they took one hotel room together in the Pundak, and we don't know what they were doing there. They could have been saying Tillim, they could have been watching Levaya on the internet. We don't know. But who knows? The Yichud may have led to Bia. So now the question is, do we have to be choishish that they renewed their marital relationship after the get was already given? Again, a machlokes b'shamay. So, and then we come back to Maseches Kiddushin. What's the minimum amount for b'mekadesh b'kesef? Oh, a machlokes between b'shamay. So b'shamay holds b'prut b'shamay. Prut b'shamay holds b'dinner b'shamay dinner. And nachamul machlokes. So all of these have major ramifications on Hilchos Kiddushin and Hilchos Gittin and Hilchos Krisus and Hilchos Mamzer. Notwithstanding all of that, we nim the b'shamay. Listen, nachamish b'tzil. We b'tzil b'shamay. Lamedcha to go and tell you shechiba v'reyes nehagin zeh b'zeh. Even though they had very, very strong Talmudic machloikas in. But the Maisa, there was tremendous ahavas Yisro between one and the other. Chaim HaShinemar, Ho'emes V'Sholem E'Hovu. Like Gemara says elsewhere, V'Zvohev B'Sufa. Even though whilst they're learning with Koilu Raj Gadol, you go sometimes into a Koilu, into a Besmedish, and you hear people screaming, no, you don't, you're talking about it, you're wrong. And they're really at loggerheads. But ultimately, V'Zvohev B'Sufa, V'Zvohev Nasu, Havim Zelazah. But again, you have to say, like we said before, that they would be Moidiyah if there were any halachis where Beishamu was being Mekel or being Machmer vis-a-vis Beisil, like we had before. Reb Shimon Oimer, Nimnu Hei Min HaVadev Le Nimnu Min HaSofik. They were Moidiyah, they would not go and marry the other ones if it was a Vadai, but they would not be so Machmer if there was a Sofik. So if we knew for sure that in fact one of the Beishamai Sorois Ho'erva married a Yavam, then Avada Beisil would never be Meshadach with that family because you have the problem of Mamzeris. That's if it's a Vada. They were not Sofik, they were not Minim and Sofik. According to the Gemara, they have them at this moment. The Sofik, we thought, are cases like the Mekarishis Ishtoi Velona Imoy Bipundak, that we don't know what happened behind closed doors. That's the Sofik situation. As I learned Rashi, we'll see Mechim shortly how the Gemara interprets the Sofik. Okay, so that's the Tanakama and Reb Shimon. So Reb Shimon says they were my name and Avadi were not my Sofik. If you're going to go and tell me, so the Kasha the Gemara is from Reb Shimon, because according to the Tanakama says Loi Nimnu, right? The Havel Ach V'Shalom V'Reis. Reb Shimon says no, yes Nimnu. So let me understand. If you're going to go and tell me, like the Mandi Yom, they had Omer Aleph, which was Shmuel, that also Kidivrei Mishamachi Nimnu, then I understand why they were Menea. Because Beishamai persisted in their Psak Halacha, and therefore we got real Mamzerim issues vis-a-vis Beisil. Eliyamis, Loi also Kidivreim, that they did not do like their Psak Halacha, but they followed Beisil, and my Nimnu. Why do they have to be Menea after all? Both Beisham and Beisil are paskening like Beisil. Even if you tell me that they also like themselves, Bishlam Beisil nimnu umi Beisham and chayav krisis nino umamzerim le Beisil. Like we've said before, I can understand why Beisil would be mineya, but why did Reb Shimon say that they were mineya zem mizeh? Now the truth of the matter is, Reb Shimon only said nimnu. He didn't say that the woman there zemizem, but since the Tanakhama says loy nimnu beishamim lisa me beisil, loy beisil me beishamai, since Reb Shimon now is saying no nimnu, it sounds like it worked in both directions. So I can understand why the beisil people didn't allow for marriage with the beishamai people, but why wouldn't the beishamai people go and get married to the beisil people? After all, the maximum problem was chayav elavin and not chayav krisis. So beishamai my nimnu beisil nechayav elavin nimnu. In other words, if Beis Hillel had a young lady on the market, then Beis Shammai would want to know, is this young lady Chas V'Shalom a Tzora So Erva? Because if she was previously married and she was a Tzora So Erva, and you want to go and suggest a Shidduch for a nice young bocher from the Beis Shammai family, that Beis Shammai family person would have to say, I'm not allowed to marry her. because it's in its alav. You can't allow this young lady to, and I can't go and be over the iser by being the izzar that is allowing for the commission of that iser. Oh, so that's why Bishami would have to be noivis. Not that this is a mamzeris issue, but of course they didn't want their boys or their girls to go and engage Chas v'Shalom in a prohibited marriage. It's an iser alav. So that's the reason why, according to Reb Shimon, nimnu in both directions. After all, if you're telling me that Savadi Isser, they were Moinea, according to Reb Shimon. A Sophic deraisa l'chumah, you gotta be machmir, what's going on over here? Oh, we take out the word Sophic and you put in the word stam. What does it mean, stam? So if you look at the first wide line of Rashi down below, min hastam. If they didn't have any news, any particular moidah, there was no footnote on the resume, then they wouldn't be parish, because mistoma, just stam. If a shidduch was read from Beisil to Beisham and Beisil and Beisham and Beisil, they didn't start asking any questions, because if there was a problem, they would moidah them. If there were not, if there was no problem, they didn't say anything, and that's why minastam. If you didn't hear anything, then everything is okay. Mistama devadi ihava mahanach leisvirlu hamoydielu. We know for sure that Beishame was very, very scrupulous, very meticulous about being moydia. So if a shidduch was suggested between Beisham and Beisil, and nobody was moydia, then you can assume everything is fine and dandy. So it's not min hasafik, but they were not nimna min hastam. When they didn't hear anything bad or good, you can assume that everything is fine.
Kosher.
Everything is kosher. Right. That doesn't mean that this bacha has the most sterling midos and he happens to be the greatest Talmud Chacham. For that, you got to go and do due diligence. But you don't have to worry about issev after, because there they would go and put it up front. They wouldn't hide that behind the scenes. Amen. Okay, stop. So what does it come to tell us now? What is Reb Shimon therefore adding to the Tanakhama? What he's telling us really is the ahav of a reyes nehagen zebezeh, that Baruch Hashem, that if there was no Isur Koris involved, then, and in the case of the Tzor Atzma, if there was no case, no love involved, that the Baruch Hashem, they freely intermarried one with the other. Isn't that what the Tanakhama also said? So what's the machloikis? Really, what it's telling us is when Reb Shimon says, Nimnu hei min avadai, he's saying that if they were moidia, and they said, we want you to know that this young lady, or the young man or young lady, was born to a union of a tzoras whoever who married the yavam, then nimlu the ravada bisil would stay away. And vis-a-vis Beis Shammai, if it was a tzora atzma that was being proposed, and this tzora atzma did not have chalitza, then Beis Shammai would stay away. That's a vaday. But if they were not told, then Minastam, then we can assume that everything was dandy. So then Beisham and Beisil said, this is a wonderful shidduch. I don't have to worry about it. They weren't my dear anything. That means everything is kusha v'yusha. So we'll stop over here, Rabbi Isai. And the purpose of bringing Reb Shimon is to tell us that the ratio is also Reb Shimon. All kula chada Reb Shimon. Have a wonderful day. Mechem continue tomorrow.